everybody tonight to the big call. It is Tuesday, February 28th, and you're listening to the big call. We're glad you're here. Looking forward to the big call tonight. Lots of information. And, of course, okay, hold on one moment, please. Okay, that was an interruption, but that's okay. It won't affect us tonight. We are looking forward to getting the word out to everybody tonight, expecting a very good call tonight. I know my segment is full, that's for sure. And let's pray the call in, and then when we're done, we get to go to a teaching that Sue's going to bring us, which is always beneficial to us, and we usually comment on it and have a really good time doing that. So before we get started to that point, let's go ahead and pray the call in. Lord God, thank you so much that we have a platform like the Big Call that we can use to get information out to Big Call universe. Thank you for the opportunity that we have. Thank you for the information that we have. Thank you that your blessing is always a spoken blessing to us. Help us to bless others tonight by speaking your word, your blessing into their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, Sue, tonight should be a wonderful time for all of us to listen to see what you found to bring to us tonight in the way of a teaching.
Well, I think you're going to really enjoy this unique and beautiful teaching, and it's called Creating a Habitation for God's Glory. Scriptures reveal that before God invaded a land or city, he typically sent a contingent ahead in order to determine strengths, weaknesses, and overall tendencies of the people. For example, before the children of Israel were to take possession of the promised land, he instructed Moses to send 12 of his men to spy out the land. God wanted these men to not only measure the nation's military power, economic strengths and weaknesses, but also any structural vulnerabilities. In addition, they were to observe the inhabitants of the land and inspect and sample the agricultural capacity. In other words, what was the nation able to produce and protect? According to Numbers 13, these 12 walked to and from, making observations of the inhabitants. When they returned, they reported to Moses all they discovered. Also, as another example, Joshua sent spies to take an inside look at Jericho before they conquered it. Jesus surveilled the situation in advance as well. You may know the story of Jesus turning over the tables in the temple. Matthew 21:12. This wasn't a spontaneous release of frustration. No. Jesus visited the day before and took a look around the temple to see all the activities taking place inside his house. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Mark 11:11. This is what God does before he inhabits a church or a place. He will come in and spy the land. He will take a look around to investigate, to observe, and determine if the church has the capacity to carry his glory and host his presence. He will come in and measure its strength. See Zechariah 2. I believe this is exactly what God did to us when it was our time for God to see and come and see us. God was evaluating the environment. Number one, environments matter, especially when it comes to churches. Not every church has the right environment to be able to host him long term. So you apply this to your projects. Visitation, yes. Long term, no. God wanted to know if our church had the right environment. 2, God took our temperature. He came in and took a census of how we would respond to his activity. He was looking closely at how we would react to his interruption. Would we push forward with our agenda or surrender to his? Would we fall back forward or backward? Would we make the encounter about us or him? Would we repent and honor him, or would we cry out for blessings? 3, God measured our capacity. What level of hunger did this group of leaders actually have? Was it superficial or deep? Could they hold up under the weight of glory that was to come? What weight limit did they have? God does this to ministries, to organizations, and people all the time. He takes the temperature of what he's evaluating, and he measures its capacity to host him. When he walked into the unassuming classroom, I had no idea it would be a place of similar encounter. In my opinion, there is only one way to look at creating a habitation for God's glory. It's making sure that you have the capacity to receive and host God's beautiful glory for good. And that's our teaching for tonight. Creating a habitation for God's glory in your projects and in your life.
That's good, Sue. That's really good, and I think we can take that and apply that to our future lives, even our present lives too, in terms of the big call and communicating with Big Call Universe tonight, and as we've done for the last 12 years, getting the word out like we're trying to do and like we have done. And like you mentioned, surveying the land, you know, whether we send people out, send people forth, I can see this coming into play for Rebuild America. Before we go great guns into a city or a town or community, we got to scope it out, right? We got to scope it out. We got to survey it a little bit, check it out, check the vibe, make sure, you know, people are amenable to having things helped in the city and their lives. I think we're going to do that, and we'll probably send out people to survey and make sure everything's copacetic before we invest time and sweat and money and everything into the town, into the future of the city. We got to have the city councils and the mayors and all that on our side with us, saying, yeah, we'd love to have some stuff done here. We'd love to have some neighborhoods rebuilt. We'd love to have some of our buildings repurposed for adaptive reuse. We'd love to have, you know, regenerative farming in the area where we can grow food and, yeah, support food banks and support people. We'd love to have a grocery store chain come back into this inner city community since it left 12 years ago. You know, that's a lot of what we'll do is checking it out for the feasibility. It's almost like a feasibility study. But I know that happens, and we'll do that probably in some form or fashion before we go willy-nilly into an area. And just, you know, our goal is to come in and not take anything over, but just to get in there and improve the situation for everybody that is there and not step on any toes when we're in there, but try to make it smooth and make it something that people will appreciate and enjoy and be part of. And be part of it. Not just all of us doing everything, but working with the people in those communities, with the people in the inner city, working with the people in the rural communities and towns. I think we can do it. That's the vision, long and short of it. That's the plan. And I like the concept that you brought tonight in that teaching, Sue, because I think it applies. It applies now, and it'll apply in our future. And I think that was very apropos. But thank you for that, Sue, and for finding that and bringing that out. It's really meaningful to us tonight. Bob, how do you see this teaching applying to what you're planning or what we are planning to do?
Yeah, so I really love the concept of the habitation for glory, and it reminded me of a particular experience I had where in the 1980s, like around 1988, I remember reading a book called Joshua, and the author was Joseph Gerzon, and he was a Catholic priest who had left the Catholic Church for his own reasons, and he wrote this book that was subtitled A Parable for Today. So it was a story as if Jesus had come back to earth today, and he created his own habitat in this little town in upstate New York, and started working as a carpenter, and then began visiting the different churches and the synagogue, and just going around teaching, and people didn't really know who he was, but the book was just filled with these beautiful teachings to the children and the people of the church and all the friends that he made. And this book became extremely popular, and it sold over 30 million copies in like 30 languages. And they ended up making a movie about it. And one of the stories in the book was about this one church that was not really a great habitat for glory. And it was actually a real church, because where Joseph Gerzon lived was near Albany, New York, and he was telling the story using real life things that were going on in that area. And so, although in the book people didn't know what the church was, that it was actually a real church that he had been to. And it turned out that later on, a year later after I read the book, I ended up being in Albany, New York, with a new job as the CEO of a health facility that was run by the Episcopal Church. And it turned out that the main Episcopal Church in the city was actually that church in the story that he was writing about, kind of like what not to do. Well, it had become an embarrassment to that church, and they all decided they were going to have to make a change, and they hired a new pastor, Reverend Eggenschiller. And turns out Reverend Eggenschiller and a number of other priests and other members of that specific church and lots of other people were the board of directors of the place where I was the CEO. Mm-hmm. And
wow.
It turns out that Reverend Eggenschiller and Joseph Gerzon had become very close friends. And Joseph, of course, was very proud of the transformation that was made that he kind of stimulated with this amazing book. So I used to get to go to the church and have dinner with Reverend Eggenschiller and his family and Joseph Gerzon. When he would come for dinner, I would get to go and have dinner with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a story about habitation for glory and how they had transformed, this church and this amazing pastor that they had hired had helped lead this. And it became this beautiful place that everybody loved to go and visit, and they would hold fundraisers there for nonprofits, and it was a very loving place, and people were happy when they were there, and it was very welcoming, and it just made this total complete transformation. It was like a healing sanctuary that people could go to be in the presence of a place that had been transformed by a story about Jesus. It had become this habitation, this habitat for glory because of the action that they took once they gained some self-awareness about how they were being perceived, and they all collectively made this choice to create a place that Jesus himself would have been proud to come to and witness their great transformation because of an inspirational story about a fictional story about him coming back to Earth today.
Yeah, man, so that's a great story.
Yeah, it's called Joshua and Joseph Gerson, and you can watch it. It's a movie that plays like on the Hallmark Channel, and of course you can still buy the book. And he wrote numerous sequels after that.
Wow. Well, that's terrific, Bob. That's a great story. I love the fact that it involved a place that you're familiar with and a church that you're familiar with, and that you were the CEO of quite a large facility. As I remember, you had about 1,000 employees.
That was actually at a different place. That was at a Catholic facility.
I see. Okay.
That was later in my life.
I see. Okay.
But this was quite an interesting time in my life to go through this. And it's an inspiration not just for, the people that changed that specific church, but for the whole community became known, this story, because it was written for that specific area, and the author lived there. It became an inspiration for an entire area to see what had happened with this transformation, and perhaps, stimulate people to make their own transformation.
That's tremendous. I think I love the concept of habitat for glory, or habitat for his glory. Mm-hmm. That's terrific. And I think that's something we can all take to our projects. And Sue, I want to hear what you would have to say about this teaching in regards to our projects and anything else that you think it might apply to.
Well, I mean, both of you just had incredible comments, but I'm going to just start with the closest one. Bob, just to realize, I keep, noticing these incredible peak experiences that you've had with, just the wonderful opportunity to be shoulder to shoulder with people that were, breaking barriers and creating transformation, and to be able to be in a position of leadership and then, have dinner and be intimately connected to people that were transforming at that level is just a wonderful thing. And, it's interesting because I picked this to read from, and it reminded me of really what we're all going to be able to do when it comes to our projects. And I love what you said, Bruce, about, going ahead and going into towns and beginning with the vision of what was going to be possible, just like what Bob said. It had been it would be like going to that church, but you're going to be going to a town and saying, you know, we can really revive this church. We can transform, this town. Mm-hmm. And having the people that would be able to tell a new story. It's always going to be about telling a new narrative mm-hmm. for a place, for our earth, for our oceans. It's going to be about telling a glorified story. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit in my segment, about the stories, about the new narratives, about the new feelings and experiences that we're going to be creating in our towns, in our homes, in our workplaces, and in ourselves. You know, sometimes I think about like creating a habitat for where God lives. We need to ground that into ourselves. We need to embody that, not just give it to the outer world, but is your body a habitat for where God dwells? Are you walking in that? Are you walking in realizing that is that a place where God can live and be glorified? Mm-hmm. And then taking that out into your leadership, and then taking that out into the way you design your programs. And are you around people that are inspiring you to be that? Because it really is about, to me, it's really about glorifying and making it very conscious that you are glorifying and bringing down a new dimension, a new, stronger sense of God's presence. And, you know, that's when you do those things where you're able to think in new ways, where you're opening people's eyes to the connections in things, like you'll be doing, Bruce, and saying, you know, we can make this much more beautiful. We can make this much more, we can make it so the rainfall doesn't create, you know, incredible flooding. And
so much of it
for all of us is going to be about stepping back a little bit and seeing, mm-hmm. like Bob did when he was going to New York, it's like the bigger picture view, and then getting people that can articulate and get it more specific. But it's so interesting. You see the beauty of New York, where I was born. And I'm very proud about being poor New York. It's had a hard time. It's just, it was an incredible, it is an incredible monument to human creativity, the fact that it functions at all. It's an amazing city. And to have Bob just saying this mm-hmm. happened there, this happened there, and this happened there. Mm. Imagine doing that and highlighting, whether it be a city and a town or being on a big call and I got to be with Bruce and Bob, or being on a Designing Your Best Future call and we get to talk about this happened there and this happened there. That's all the way you bring God's glory, is by being in awe of what you get to witness. And even right now, even though we haven't gone, being in awe that, you know, even if you're threadbare and it's like, I walk through leaving materialism to embody my purest God glory self. Everybody on this call can say that. And everybody on this call, everybody can say that. You left the definition of the material world, the material paradigm, to embody the glorification of your God self. And you're about to receive the blessing because you actually made a habitation for God at a whole new level. And that's something you should really be proud of. And those are my thoughts for tonight.
Well, that's great, Sue. That's quite a bit there. There's a lot that we can take from that. It's interesting, very interesting. Well, we are creating a habitat for his glory, a habitation for God, a habitation for God's children. And, there's a lot to that. You gave me some good ideas. I came up with some more ideas while you were speaking, Sue.
I know. So, that's what we do.
That's what we do. So thank you for that very much. And, Bob, I love what you said, and it really opens us up to the possibility of regeneration and the reformation of, you know, things that might need to be taken down or reworked or rebuilt from the ground up in some cases. So thank you guys for that. So tonight being Tuesday is a praise report night. And I wonder if we have any praise reports you can fill us in on.
Sure do.
Okay.
I can't take the credit. We have really faithful, really glory-filled people.
Mm-hmm.
Praise times three is where we'll start.
Okay.
Just get yourself comfortable, Mr. Praise times three, as I get ready to read your beautiful words. And I know you're sitting right over there. This morning, is my in my quiet time, the word gratitude kept coming into my spirit. Mm. What a word, packed full of meaning and purpose. I can't tell you the long list of things I'm grateful for. But this morning, I was filled with a grateful heart of all the people who have shown kindness, love, and grace during this past year. I've been through the ringer, but know I am loved by a holy God. This I know. Big call, universe, it's the same for you. To all those who love you as our leadership team of Sue, Bob, and Bruce do, accept it. It is much harder for our spirit to accept love than if criticism comes our way. We've been given a galactic opportunity, you go, Pastor Scott, to love others. Both here on this earth and even out of this world of space and time. Now that's really going to be fun. Step purposefully forward in your projects with integrity, humility, and grace. Be blessed, Pastor Scott. That was beautiful, Pastor Scott.
Very good. Thank you, Pastor. Yep. I love that.
And then we have one from Jeannie, Danielle, Jeannie, Jen, she signs both. Happy February 28, 2028, last day of the month. Next year, 2024, we will have a leap year, 2/29/2024, an extra day to enjoy and celebrate. We have so many days to be thankful for. Spring Monday, 3/2023. And I'm also going to insert, I think today is Women's Celebration Month. Yep. Hopefully everybody knows that. Women's History Celebration Month, about how women in the United States have contributed so amazingly to our world. St. Patrick's Day, Friday, 3/17/23. And hopefully this RV. I read this over the weekend and wanted to share. It seems to relate to what we're going through and feeling with this RV coming to fruition. Lord, you are the light. I follow down this long, dark tunnel. You are the voice that whispers, urging me onward when this wall of sorrow seems insurmountable. You are the hand that reaches out and grabs mine when I feel as if I'm sinking in despair. You alone, Lord, are the waters that fill me when I'm dried of all hope and faith. I thank you, Lord, for although I may feel like giving up, you've not given up on me. Amen and amen. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we praise you through songs, words, prayer, and especially through actions, since actions speak louder than words. We're thankful to you, Lord, for our families, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, the Big Call platform, and for all the Big Call leaders, especially since Bruce, Sue, and Bob have stayed and are staying with the Big Call family until the RV comes to fruition. Thank you so much. Gracious and healing God, thank you for everything you've done for me and others in the past and everything you're helping us with in the present. We're so grateful to be chosen for this RV blessing. Thankful for today and every day, for Pastor Scott and his three times praises that he shares every Tuesday. May everyone be blessed, be thankful and kind, with appreciation through Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jeannie. That was really good. Thank you that your praise report was about gratitude, and so was Pastor Scott's. It's also about gratitude, and I think they've worked very well together. You know, thank you, Sue, for bringing those out. Very much so. Yes. It sounds like Jeannie has quite a calendar of events for us for the month of March.
I know.
And I think we'll have a very good month of March from what I'm hearing. I've got a lot of stuff tonight for the intel, and I hope I remember it all.
You've got a lot of gifts to bestow, don't you, Mr. Intel? I said to my group, Bruce, I said, who wants intel? I said, I feel like the intel truck, like the ice cream truck. You're the intel truck.
Like the good humor man, right?
Like the ding, 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 I got intel, I got intel.
Yeah, that's right. I sure do. And I got more than you haven't heard, Sue. So.
Oh, good. I know.
It's all good. I know that's what you wanted to hear. So, some stuff I won't.
And you're sounding really excited. And you're, but Bob, I just wish I could be in the room.
What?
And you're sounding really excited about it.
I don't, do I? I'm kind of laid back right now.
No.
Huh?
Huh?
What are you saying, huh?
Take that hearing aid out.
Yeah, I know, right? Thank God I've got my headphones on. Yeah, really. No, I'm a little chill right now. I'm just kind of chill, but I've got some good stuff, and I guarantee I'll bring my energy level up tonight. I guarantee it, since I'm chill right now.
Oh, God. Well, I wonder who's in the audience is laughing. It's laughing. Oh, God.
Listen, sometimes I'm just about like this. What day is it? What inning is it, Bob? What inning is it? What's the score? Who's ahead? What's the score? RBIs. Okay.
Oh,
no.
you actually just woke up from a dream. There's no games today.
Oh, there's no game today.
Oh, dear.
But there are some scores.
Are there?
4-1, 3-2, 7-6.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I remember that joke from a long time ago, Bob. All right, Sue. Let's do this. Let's talk about your class. Was very inspirational, I'm sure, to you. And you were inspirational to them. And let us know a little bit. You know, we're very close to the end of this ride, it looks like. And the intel I've got tonight should prove that out for us. But tonight, I guess, really, the main thing is to make sure everybody's got a world-class presentation that they can put out in 5 to 8 minutes in front of two or three strangers at the, I don't want to make them seem so strange. But where they, you know, they're speaking this to the Redemption Center staff.
They're presenting it to friends they haven't met yet.
That's what it's saying.
Up until that moment.
Uh-huh. Good.
Friends, we're gonna take the separation language out of it. But yeah. Thank you, and I will begin my segment.
Thank you. Don't put us to sleep, Sue. Come on, that's my job.
Oh, my gosh. Please don't let me have that moment when I'm laughing too hard. I can't start. Oh, gosh. It's whenever we have a graduating class, I get kind of
giddy. Yes.
So I just want to let Bob know that I sent him a testimonial.
Oh, no. Okay.
And
good. A laughing email. Good.
And let's start with getting Sue in the right mind. And just start with, if you are, let me see if I can really create it actually as the experience someone would be going through, probably on the eve of this going. If you have Zim in your possession, and if you have procrastinated or not been clear or had something else, such as, I don't know if I could handle doing a project, know this, you would be supported in every way. This is not you doing a project. It's you with a team of people to help you do a project. So if that's you, then you're going to want to be able to articulate and present your dream of how it should be, how it could be, of what is possible. And through the world-class presentation, you'll get the way to articulate that in a very simple but executive style and a way that you could do this in a couple of hours if you were to get that tonight. I'm just going to say tonight, because if the emails start coming in tomorrow morning and we're starting to get busy, we're just not going to send them out.
It'd be tight. So, it'd be a little too tight.
It's going to be very tight. So this is what you have to ask yourself right in the center of your heart. How would I feel if I didn't do at least one project and I have Zim? How would I feel? And if you know what that feeling is and it's not a good, positive, glorifying God feeling, are you glorifying God by not doing a project? Ask yourself that. Then send an email to integratedminds@hushmail.com. And the first ones that, I'm not going to stay up all night because we've been doing it for almost 4 years. So it's the first ones that come before 11 o'clock tonight.
Eastern.
Are the ones that are going to get, that are going to get this. And it's just going to take you an hour and a half to 2 hours, and you will have glorified God, and you would have crossed over into, well, what God is going to do to glorify you. integratedminds@hushmail.com, and you're going to put world-class formula, $165, and then put your name, your telephone number, and preferably that you have Zelle. We also have PayPal, but preferably that you have Zelle. And the cost is $165, and you're going to get all the instruction, You're going to get how to put it all together. You're going to have the information that is most important to the Redemption Center that's coming through close contacts of ours that really know. And so you can be really guaranteed that you'll be presenting a very executive level, simple, digestible, but high impact presentation that they can understand and digest in 5 to 8 minutes. So it's a very almost scientific, kind of designed with little brain science way to get your information across. So that's number one. And number two, if this is my last call, I'm just going to read a couple of things to give you a taste of what is possible when you create a culture that glorifies God. And so, as a lot of you know, maybe some of you have been in some of the classes or even the world class that is in the world class. Just finished Designing Your Best Future, which is like 1, 2, and almost iteration number 3. And this is what the people said last night when we were taking the call. And we have a guy from Ireland, a woman from Germany, and from Great Britain, and they stay up, Bruce, until 2:30 in the morning to take these classes. And this is
not
what
to
they
mention
said.
India.
I said, what in India? Yep. These are the feelings. This is the energy. I said, give one word after taking this class. Touching the sky with kindness. Free. Sovereign and free. Expansive and blessed. Peaceful. All-encompassing fulfillment. Limitless. Beautiful and clarity. And what was the other one? Those were just some of them.
That's a lot.
That's 9. That is the quality, and I'm going to read you one more. So Agnes, thank you very much, Agnes, after we finish our class, writes this. Dear Sue, I'd like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for these wonderful classes, for the knowledge that you share with us, and therefore the world. At the end of today's class, I remembered a scene from a very special film. This was the essence of what I took away from today for the work and the events to come. Thank you. Love from Berlin, Agnes. And so I'm going to have Bob read a testimonial in a minute, but here's the point of my reading these and sharing these. Each of us, because of what you've been through to glorify God and to let go of the old world that isn't working. And I know there's no way you've been on this walk without going through some level of purification, of looking at yourself, of really, really getting clear about the world you want to see. And the most important thing that you can do for your projects is make a commitment to create a culture that glorifies God and brings God's presence into what you're doing. It's really going to be magnificent if you make that commitment, and you could say it to the people that you're using to hire for you and say, we really want this to be a place of beauty, of God's presence, and of God's amazing ability to restore our world. And if you do that, if you have that in your heart, and even if you're talking to secular people, if you use beautiful language and beautiful ways of describing how you want people to work, how you want them to feel, what you want them to experience when you're developing the towns, if you learn how to articulate that, that's what they are going to remember. Maya Angelou said it best. people won't remember what you said, they won't remember what you did, but they will remember how you made them feel. So remember, we're going to be creating a culture where the love, the beauty, the splendor, the glory, the power, the newness, the regenerative aspect of God, the resurrection aspect of God is going to be exalted. And with that, I'm just going to ask Bob to read a testimonial and then we'll close out. And this testimonial, Bob, is from a woman who is a business professor, and her project is to get people all around the world to become small business owners, entrepreneurs, because they will be liberated and set free to be self-reliant. And she's mm-hmm. just brilliant, a genius. Her book is in all different kinds of languages. And this is what she had to say about designing your best future.
Very cool. All right, so this starts saying, "Dearest Sue, you both could not have been more patient and gracious with the orphans who couldn't make the first call. Sue, you gave lavishly of your time and support at the end of a long day and never lost your energy or enthusiasm for our group. You poured yourself out for us. Every word was pure gold. The call was an answer to my prayers. You charted a doable path for us with specifics that made us all feel, I can do this. This makes sense. No one else on planet Earth is doing this work. And when you said to us, welcome home, I almost burst into tears. Your words were like a divine tap on the shoulder from the Lord saying, you're leaving you're leaving the desert behind and you'll be entering into the promised land soon. Your visuals, meditation, and creativity awakened the side of my brain that I thought had long withered. And yet, without that spark of beauty and creativity, I was operating like a machine that plows through an endless to-do list 18 hours a day without joy. Thank you for reminding me that joy, love, peace, and kindness gives us life and purpose. It was as if you took our shoulders and in a loving way turned us towards the light of life while saying, see, isn't that better? For the first time in years, you gave me the freedom to dream and to trust the process. What a glorious and precious gift that is. Thank you from the bottom of my heart with heartfelt gratitude." Wow, Sue, that's amazing testimonial.
Really was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Terrific.
So I'll just thank you for reading that so beautifully, and I know how much that meant to you to hear that kind of transformation. So one of the exercises we do in designing your best future is, you've heard me talk about it, unlearning, and relearning. And here is this incredibly brilliant, talented, accomplished woman, and I talked about creating more space in your life and had them do an exercise over the weekend where they looked at where they could create more space and create the space to work on these projects, but where they needed to let go of contraction. And this Dawn comes back to the call and tells us how she lives near the water. She has to go into New York City, and she has this incredible to-do list because she's so accomplished. She's so in demand. She's a speaker. She travels all over the world, the whole thing, which was very humble for her to provide. And she said that for the first time in I don't know how many years, she put away her to-do list, Bob and Bruce, and she took herself to the beach. And she said it was one of the most transformative experiences of her life to give herself that permission to have and open up to that loving and nurturing and nature-filled experience. And then we had this other woman who is new to the call because she has a friend that's been on our calls, and he said she should be there. And she got on, and she said, I've been such a worker bee all of my life. And her voice started cracking. And I remember, I'm not seeing these people, but I can feel them as if they're like literally sitting across from me. And I knew that Dawn was picking up on the same thing. And she said, and she started to cry, and she just said, it's like the first time I can just tell that I'm going to be able to move out of that, and you're making me feel safe that I can do this and how to design it so that I'll be safe and be able to move into this with a rhythm and a pace and an authority that will honor me, honor God, and honor the projects. And so I'm saying all this to anybody that may be wanting to do a project or anybody that's listening to this. It's going to be very important that you get someone in your life that will help you to slow down, be mindful, and also respect that, yes, you have these projects, but it's a time of, as we say, in our regenerative future group, review, reimagine, and regenerate. Review, reimagine, and regenerate. Just take the time to slow down and do that. And the world will start to flourish with and through you. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Sue. That was really regenerative, I thought. And you gave us a really good look at what you accomplished and what some of the people on the call felt. We felt what they felt. We felt and saw their tears. And I just love
it. We want everybody. The point is that I think that's what everybody's going to feel when the Sara kicks in. I think that's the culture that we need to be. We need to be we're there as you're letting go of the old and realizing it's been a burden. But we're there and celebrating you as we walk together and create this new, beautiful place to be together.
Right.
It's just to get people a sense of frequency of what this new space is going to look like and how to do it with care and empathy and compassion and joy and celebration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's good. You just reminded me of something that I hope I remember in the Intel segment too. Something good like that. Yep. Very cool, Sue. No, I really think that was a good perspective on what your classes were like. And I would recommend if anybody doesn't have their world-class presentation just knocked out and ready to go, that they jump on this tonight. Sue said up till 11 o'clock, so hey, I don't care if you do it during my intel segment. Go ahead and get those emails out tonight if you want your world-class formula so you can create a real world-class presentation. Sue, thank you so much for that. That's really valuable. And I think everybody...
Bruce, thank you. Thank you for letting me do this for so many years. It's really been amazing to know all these incredible beings. And I want to give a shout out to the graduating class of Designing Your Best Future and all the sovereigns and all the people that have done world class and saying I love you all. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Sue. Yep. A shout out, a final shout out.
Final shout out.
The final countdown begins now. Bob, I think that's a tough act to follow, but if anybody can do it, it's you.
All right.
That was really great. So where do we stand, Bob? We're at the last day of the month of February. The month of February. Where are you going to take us?
Well, first off, I'd just like to say there's always a thing, Bruce, as back-to-back home runs.
Right? That's true.
And I read this story the other day.
You can do it, Bob. You do it all the time.
Get a load of this. Speaking of back-to-back home runs, this guy in a college baseball game a couple of days ago came up to bat in the first inning with the bases loaded and hit a home run, a grand slam home run.
Right.
And it turned out in that first inning, his team scored 14 runs, partly because he came up again in the first inning and hit another grand slam home run.
Oh, no kidding. Two grand slam home runs in one inning.
In one inning. It's only happened.
How often does that happen, Bob?
It's once before in recorded history.
Wow.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. Yeah. And this was in college, Bob, was it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So anyway, anything could happen. We could have two grand slams in one inning. You never know.
It's probably going to take some great testimonials, though, to get there, Bob.
Well, actually, I have this beautiful woman who sent two of them. So that's the beginning.
Maybe that's our back-to-back.
Yeah, so this is one she talked about. She's talking about the Gladiator Barley. This is interesting testimonial. It says, love this drink, and I take it to work every day. I need all the help. I need all of the help it gives to have enough energy to help customers at Habitat for Humanity.
It's
a place where people donate things and we resell it to help build houses and homes for people. And it takes all of our strength to help and do all of this. If it wasn't for this drink, I would never make it through the day.
Wow.
I'm going to start reordering again pretty soon. So she's just gotten started.
Yep.
And then...
Bob, that's called the Restore, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Habitat for Humanity stores or the Restore, yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Yeah. Then she talked about her experience getting this. So it says, I love the product, and I called to speak to a lady about the other products. She was very knowledgeable about what I was asking her about, and I was going through at work. I was going through this while I was at work, and it was nice of her to help me through ordering. And she even knows people that live in the same city as I do. Thanks for all you're doing for people. So this is the same woman wrote both testimonials. And this happens a lot, Bruce. There are certain people that do things in their life like this lady is doing, where she's helping with Habitat for Humanity, and she's not necessarily spending time learning the computer or being on the computer. She's busy helping, right?
Right.
And so it's always good when people can call and get help from someone who not only knows how to navigate and help get orders placed, but can talk to you about what's going on with your life and actually make sure that you get just the right thing. And I'll tell you, you know, some of our people work from home, Bruce, and so what we do is we still work together as a team, and if a question comes up that somebody doesn't know the answer to about a particular issue, particular product, then they email me, and I keep my email open on my desk, and they can also text me, which they do, and then I'll get back to them with what it is that they need. And sometimes, you know, it's something a little bit complicated, and it takes a little while. It's like, all right, we'll have to get back to you about that. Sometimes it can be a question about an interaction of things and like that that isn't something we know right off the top of our head. And so this is a case where this lady got the exact type of help she needed, got the exact product she needed, and is now finding herself, you know, revitalized and able to continue on with what is apparently some difficult work.
And,
so there's one other thing that's here that's really important that is going on in the news right now. And the story came out yesterday, and it's a story about a sweetener that is very omnipresent. It's called erythritol. And what it is it's a sugar alcohol, and it's found naturally in some fruits like grapes and stuff like that. But it's made synthetically in massive amounts all around the world, and it's used as a sugar substitute. And there is a study that just came out that was an accidental discovery by the Cleveland Clinic showing that this compound stimulates the formation of blood clots that is leading to heart attacks and strokes. And they were doing research about heart attacks and strokes and measuring all different things in people's blood work to see who's more susceptible based on what, and they accidentally came upon the fact that there were unusually high levels of erythritol in people's blood, and that it was causing a rapid buildup of blood clots. And so they're sounding the alarm. Now, what they do with erythritol is quite often they add it to other sweeteners to give it bulk. So if you take, for example, xylitol or monk fruit, they are very, very sweet, 200 to 400 times sweeter than sugar. Right? And so it's a very tiny amount that's needed to sweeten things. But when people want a sugar additive that's going to be in a packet or in a jar that they're going to scoop, they can't just scoop this tiny little bit of micrograms of xylitol, right, or monk fruits. And so you end up with a packet that has this white crystalline powder, and the majority of it is erythritol, which isn't even as sweet as sugar, right? Mm-hmm. Only 70% as sweet as sugar. And so now, already, people, and I just ran into somebody tonight who was having a cup of coffee and was talking about how now he was going to have to give up his stevia because of this study that came out. And I was saying to him, well, listen, there's more to it than that. You have to find out if your stevia actually has erythritol added to it. And the same is true with things like monk fruit and xylitol. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it comes in its pure form with no additives. Okay. And it's safe, right? But if you see that it's got erythritol added, this is what the Cleveland Clinic is sounding the alarm about, be careful because it's leading to these blood clots, right? But don't just all of a sudden give up and say, okay, now I can't use any of these other sweeteners, you know, because they're going to cause blood clots. That's not what the study's saying, but a lot of people only read the headlines.
Oh, yeah.
And so the headline will say zero-calorie sweetener that's in some sweeteners like monk fruit and xylitol linked to heart attacks and strokes. So people go, oh, my God, those things are linked to heart attacks and strokes? No, if the erythritol is added to it, right? But let's just be realistic. A lot of people are going to make decisions based on reading headlines that are worded in a way that, you know, I think inadvertently are misleading.
Yeah.
But I wanted to let people know, because there's a lot of people that have seen this, because it's been all over the news. It's been on Fox News. It's been on CNN. It's out there in a big way. Okay? So,
Bob, before you go further on that, let me ask you, now, I use stevia in the raw, one packet, in my bulletproof coffee. Do we think stevia in the raw is in the clear?
Maybe not. What you want to do is get the packet that you have and see what the ingredients are. Quite often, in these packets, the very first ingredient on the packet, because the majority of it is erythritol, so they list it. By the most
in order
permanent.
in order
mm-hmm. So more than likely you're going to look at it, it's going to say erythritol, right? And so you need to find, and you can do searches for this online, where and because you'll find, if you do searches like this, you'll see things, you know, sweeteners that say without erythritol.
Okay.
And so that's what you want to shoot for. All right. So there was that. Here's another thing that was released again. They do this every year. The American Heart Association releases their guidelines for taking steps to reduce your risk of heart disease. Okay? And the first one is actually a good one. It says balancing food and calorie intake with physical activity. And they go on to say, get a wide variety of fruits and vegetables, choose whole grains, have lean and or high fiber protein. And there's one, using liquid non-tropical plant oils. Right? Very suspect. Choosing minimally processed foods, minimizing the intake of added sugar, choosing foods with little or no salt, limiting alcohol, and applying this guidance no matter where the food is prepared or consumed. Okay? So I'm looking at this going, I wonder what the chances are that somebody will actually be really healthy and have a low risk of heart disease if they follow this advice. And the answer is probably not all that much of a chance, right? Because if you're using liquid non-tropical plant oils to cook with, and you're eating lots of fried foods, or you're consuming those oils that are highly processed GMO type oils, it's going to create tremendous inflammation in your body. All right? These guidelines also don't say anything about nutrition supplements that are known to be good for your heart that the FDA actually has admitted. Things like barley are good for your heart. Right? They don't mention anything about that. They don't mention anything about antioxidants or C-reactive protein, right? They don't mention anything about the fact that your heart is a metabolic machine and is cranking out a very beneficial electron storm that is coming from the Krebs cycle, and that what you need in order to power that Krebs cycle is coenzyme Q10 and B vitamins, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. They don't mention anything about the importance of the 90% of your body that's other human, meaning probiotics. They don't mention anything about omega-3s, which we know are vital importance for your heart. Bruce, they don't even mention anything about vitamin D3.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. They don't mention anything about metabolic enzymes and amino acids, which are the building blocks of proteins which make up your whole heart muscle. Right?
Right.
It's like the lamest list of recommendations that if you were to sit down with really good orthomolecular, physicians that understand what's really needed to have people healthy, and they would go, all right, let's start by making a list that's a joke, right? This is the list that they would come up with.
Right? Wow.
And it's like, and let's leave all the most important things off the list. Like, how do you keep your C-reactive protein down? Because it's the biggest risk factor. Inflammation is the biggest risk factor for heart disease, right?
Right.
But instead, let's have number 5 be a recommendation that causes inflammation.
Mm.
And so if you're a person that leaves the health of yourself and your family to these types of recommendations, it's literally a catastrophe waiting to happen, right? And it's not going to work for you and your family. And you need to know a lot more than that in order to properly take care of your heart. In this day and age, when we're exposed to massive amounts of toxins, massive amounts of stress, terrible quality food in our grocery stores, right? We're living in an environment that is extremely hostile to our health and extremely difficult to live in and maintain good health. And you can see that all around you with how sick people are on average that you run into.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, all you have to do is drive around town, Bruce. What are the biggest buildings in town that take up the most space? The hospital, the nursing homes, the mm-hmm. drug stores that dominate every major intersection.
Right.
Not just one, but one across the street from the other. Monoliths to a, mm-hmm. a system of healthcare that doesn't work. Okay. And
that's right.
So people want to really know how to take care of their heart, make your way to our website, and in the search portion, click that little search icon, type in heart health, and you'll find our podcast. It also has a 3,000 word blog post associated with it. And that's where you can learn a lot more about the things that I was just mentioning.
Wow.
All right. So last thing is this, Bruce, people received emails and text messages today. This is the last day that the products we have on sale. We made a February sweetheart deal sale, buy one, get one half off for 9 of our products, right?
Yep.
Including our Clarity Factor for your brain, our Good Night Formula for sleep, resveratrol, olive leaf extract, which is great for your immune system and other things we talked about last week, our digestive enzymes, our B vitamins, so great for your energy, vitamin C, magnesium and zinc, also great for your immunity, and zeolite for detoxing heavy metals. All those things for the next hour and 39 minutes are on sale, buy one, get one half off. And that's it, Bruce. That's what I have for tonight.
Okay, Bob, let's tell them how to get to the website so they can take final advantage of the sale in the next hour and 39 minutes. First, go to bigcalluniverse.com, and when you get on that web page, when you get on our homepage, see the banner that says Boomers. It's a direct link to Bob's website. Click on that, take you right into the website. You can go through and see all the various products that Bob just mentioned on the on sale page. Bob, is the barley still buy one, get one half off?
No, that ended a few days
ago.
That
went away. Okay, that stopped. All right, but all the other products that Bob mentioned tonight are still on sale for a short period of time tonight. And that would be what, until midnight Eastern, Bob?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, so midnight Eastern time tonight. So check that out. Also, tomorrow is what we would call a call-in day following the big call. So you can call to check on anything tomorrow, and that would be using the number 800-861-4609. 800-861-4609. That's 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, Eastern Standard Time, for a little bit longer, for about another 12 days. And then we go over to Daylight Savings Time on Sunday, the 12th at 2 a.m. So, Bob, that's terrific. That's awesome. And I love the discussion. I'm going to have that checked out as far as the Stevie and the Raw and any other sweeteners. Do you mind spelling that ingredient out for me, Bob, what it's called again?
Yep. Hang on 1 second.
Anesthetol?
Erythritol.
Erythritol. Erythritol. Okay.
Yep. It's spelled E-R-Y-T-H-R-I-T-O-L.
Okay. Erythritol. Got it. Erythritol. Very cool. Yeah, we got to watch out for that. We don't need anything else in our blood causing us to clot prematurely or without reason. Yeah. Thank you, Bob. That's really cool. Very, very good. let's segue our way into the Intel segment tonight. Let's see. There's quite a few things. I'm not going to bring them out in any particular order, but just as they come to me. First thing that I thought was really interesting is that, you know, we know some people that are what we call introducers, bond introducers. This means that they introduced a buyer to a seller of bonds. Sometimes they're called intermediaries. But they're introducers. Those are to be paid out their commissions tonight between 11 p.m. Eastern and 1 a.m. in the morning. So there's a two-hour window for the introducers to be paid out their commissions tonight. The other thing is we're hearing from several sources that tonight, starting at 11 o'clock Eastern, that the notifications for us in Tier 4B and those in Tier 4A, which we usually refer to as the Admirals groups, are to be notified and paid out tonight, starting at 11. Now, I think for us that are part of Tier 4B, the internet group, I would think this means our emails would come out to us either possibly overnight or in the morning. But in either case, we should be receiving notifications tomorrow. Now, let's cut to Redemption Center staffing. They've been having partial staffings until tomorrow. Wednesday is the 1st of March. Wednesday, the people that we talk to in the Redemption Center are saying that they will have fully staffed tomorrow, which takes them usually from around 8 in the morning to about 11 o'clock at night. Now, there has been talk of schedules that might go 12 to 14 days at the Redemption Centers. Could be less in some areas, depending on the amount of ZIM holders in the area. But let's say between 10, 11, and 12 to 14 days, that schedule looks like it would start tomorrow, the 1st of March. The other thing is, I've heard from one other source that talks about having this completed by the 15th of March. Now, I could see that happening. If we get started tomorrow with notifications and we believe we set appointments and maybe even start tomorrow. If that happens, I could see us completing by the 15th in all markets. That's really, really a big deal. Now, did I say we had a shot of starting on the 1st? I think I said last Thursday on the call, it wouldn't surprise me if they don't let this go before the 1st of March, which is Wednesday, the day that Kuwait revalued their currency some 28 years ago. But now I did think there was a possibility we'd get notified today, but realistically, we were not. And it looks like we will get notified overnight or in the morning and start tomorrow. Now, am I calling it? I'm doing everything but. I can't call it. But all of the information is pointing to this. Everything I've got from all sources is saying that we're all on that same page. Now, regarding Nasara and Jassara, one of our top leaders is saying that we would get an announcement, or it would come out Wednesday or Thursday. That'd be tomorrow or Thursday. Nasara Jassara. Remember, Charlie Ward is the one who's supposed to bring that out to us. And he may be in South Africa when he does it. We don't know that for sure, but that's what we have heard in the past. Let's talk a little bit about the new currency that we're going to get, the USN and the USTN physical money that you put in your pocket currency. We've been on the USN digitally since the 1st of February, trading it since the 1st of February. So for a month now, that's already in play. But the folding money, the currency that we keep in our pockets or purses or money clips, wherever that is supposed to be available for us at the Redemption Center. So we should be able to take that and go with that tomorrow, if we exchange tomorrow, or Thursday if for some reason we don't start till Thursday. But it's looking like the 1st of March is the beginning of everything we're looking for. Talking about currency again, the USD, the fiat currency that we have now, is supposed to all be turned in, if you will, spent, exchanged at the bank for the new money. All of that, our USD is supposed to be the end of using the USD in the United States is supposed to be April 10th. April 10th. So, we should be getting the new money starting at the centers. That's going to be terrific. Let's talk about what else is going on. Oh, this was something that Sue tricked my curiosity about and gave me this memory. I was told that we will be going to a four-day work week and a four-day school day. I don't know exactly how soon. That could be a few months away. Maybe it's next year. I don't know when it starts, but it's to allow us to have more time with our families and friends. Okay? So four-day work week, which they talked about this way back when. I don't know if it was in the 70s or when it was that was talked about. It kind of went the other direction, didn't it? It went, instead of 4 days for most people, it went to 6 days. And some people, 7 day work weeks. Well, they're going to try to get it back to a 4 day work week and a 4 day school week. Okay? Now, so Nasara Jasara, we're looking to have come out in the Wednesday to Thursday time frame. Now, what else is happening? There's a lot of cleanup going on in Arizona, and it started early this morning, and it's ongoing, and it's paving the way for a Supreme Court decision to be put out tomorrow on the 1st. We believe it's coming out tomorrow. It could be Brunson, the case we've talked about on the Big Call, but it should reverse where we've been in terms of election fraud and all of that that has taken place for quite a long time, since 2004. And this would be a major decision that should prove the way for a change in leadership in our country. Let's just say it that way. And that should put us on a good and even keel again. There's been a lot done in Vietnam in the last day or so to bring that country into full compliance and readiness for Jasara. And I believe we have a new rate on the dong that will keep everybody very happy. It's quite a great rate that we should see at the redemption centers and in our Tier 1 banks. But primarily, what they want everybody to do when you get the toll-free number is to set your appointment and use that system, the call-in system, to set your appointment so that you can get the very best possible rates in the redemption centers for dong, dinar, and the other currencies, Afghani, everything, and the ZIM, especially if you have a project presentation you can make in 5 to 8 minutes at the redemption center. And you're to do that in 5 to 8 minutes, short presentation, primarily an outline with bullet points, however you've got it constructed. And if you've used the world-class formula to construct your presentation, it will be in great shape for that presentation. That's why Sue was saying, right now, the world-class is still open if people get their requests in the next 20 or 30 minutes to Sue. Use the email integratedminds@hushmail.com, and in the subject line, put world-class formula $165, showing you know it's a $165 investment that you're making in your presentation, in your project, or projects. Okay? So if you don't have one yet, this is your, quite possibly your last chance to get it. And get it out, get it tonight, so Sue can try to get that out to you tonight or first thing in the morning, so that you'll have that to build your presentation on. And, you know, in your subject line, put world-class formula, $165. In the body of the email, put your name and your cell phone number in case she needs to contact you or text you, and use Zelle as the preferred method of payment. And if you don't have Zelle yet, use PayPal. But Zelle and then PayPal in that order of preference. $165 investment in your projects, in your presentation, to get all the information you need to build it out and build a beautiful project, a beautiful presentation. So, we're looking for some political change after the Supreme Court puts out their decision tomorrow. We're looking good for everything to start, we believe. And we know that they're going to be just, we're going to be going gangbusters here, guys, over the next 3 weeks. Okay. And just pause for 1 second. I'll be right back. Okay, so I believe that's everything I wanted to bring out tonight, with one exception. There's one other thing, and that's the restitution that's coming to us under NASARA in this country. We've talked about people that are on Social Security from the age of 62 on up. Really, the so-called senior restitution starts at the age of 60. But to people who are already getting Social Security, they're going to use, if you're already set up and they have your Social Security account information, meaning your bank account that you get it in, then you're going to also receive the restitutional payment through that bank account where your Social Security is coming every month. So we'll see how large it is, whether it's once a year for 11 years, which is what we heard. They take the total restitution, divide it by 11, and they'll bring you your first payment out. We think in the month of March is when it's supposed to be. And people that are not getting something paid automatically as a direct deposit to a bank account, they're supposed to receive their information in a FedEx letter, Federal Express letter, which would give them a check to negotiate that they'd sign for and sign off on. They would take that to the bank to have that processed and have it deposited. Okay? You already know about the Quantum Account Access Card, made of titanium, but it might look like platinum, whatever. But that is going to give you access to your quantum account, which is where all of your money from your exchanges and your Zim redemption go into that account. And then you'll move money using your quantum account access card to access your quantum account, and then you'll move funds from that to your primary or secondary bank accounts. And in my case, starting off, I believe all of us will start with the possibility of using Wells Fargo, since they're the lead dog on this whole exchange oversight throughout the United States. Outside of the United States, you're looking at HSBC, and in Latin America, you're looking at Banco Santander, Santander Bank. Okay? So, We're all going to put this together. Use your quantum account card. You cannot lose it. Use it. Don't lose it. You've got to keep it in a super safe place where you know where it is and you can access it. And use it for moving funds. You're not charging anything on it. You're not spending off of that card. You're only using it to access your quantum account and then move funds from that account. Remember, you can move between $1.5 to $1.8 billion into each LLC or each business account that you set up, as I'm calling them, secondary accounts, under my primary account with Wells. You could have, I'm having four secondary LLC accounts that are bank accounts tied to my projects. Okay? That's how I'm doing it. You can do it however you need to do it. But by doing that and having the funds there move between 1.5 and 1.8 billion for the first 120 days, the first 4 months, they want to see how you spend that money, how you appropriate it, who you give to, who you don't give to. They're going to track it on the quantum system. They'll track that. And if you do well and you don't do anything super well, don't do anything wrong, then you'll have access to the rest of your funds in So I got cut off on my own call somehow. All right, so I'm back. I had to dial back in. So really, that is the key, is to use your quantum account access card. I call it quantum account access card, quack. I know it spells quack. That's kind of funny, but there's nothing funny about it. It's really designed for us to use that to see our accounts, and our bankers don't see it. The banks don't see it unless you show it to them. They don't know how much you have. The redemption centers will see it, and they'll forget it because they're going to be seeing all kinds of people with all kinds of balances. So don't worry about them. Now, I think that is everything I wanted to bring out tonight on the call. Obviously, I'm excited about the prospects for tomorrow, for overnight tonight and tomorrow. And everything's looking like this is finally ready to go. That's what it looks like. Let's stay in prayer for it. Let's stay in faith for it. Let's expand our faith to include this blessing. And let's pray the call out accordingly, okay? Lord God, we thank you so much that we've been able to share on the call tonight internationally with quite a few people, maybe 14 to 15 million people, in all these different languages. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you that we've been chosen for this, and we love the fact that we get to be good stewards of this blessing and be able to share it and up-level humanity around the globe. Thank you for all of us and for our projects. Thank you for Sue. Thank you for Bob. Thank you for GCK, Pastor Scott and Jeannie. And thank you for everybody behind the scenes on the big call who have been getting information and information to us so that we could put that out in a responsible way. Thank you for those that are translating or simultaneously translating this, and thank you for those that are transcribing or taking notes to put out tomorrow. Thank you for them as well. And all we can say is we love you, and we're holding strong faith for this coming through for us in the manner in which I described tonight. Thank you for bringing it to us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, everybody have a great night tonight. Let's see what tomorrow brings on the 1st of March. God bless you all.